It's the Offense Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And streaming live on YouTube, where the chat is lively today, at the Team 980. If you're watching on YouTube and you're like, Craig, where are you? I am in Indianapolis because I was at Fever Aces last night. We're going again tomorrow night because they're playing twice in 3 days, which is why we came up. So really, really cool to see Asia Wilson last night break the WNBA's all-time scoring record in terms of points in a single season. And she continues her MVP campaign. Aces clocked the Fever, who had been the hottest team in the W since the break. Ace is starting to come together. Playoffs are going to be a blast. We're talking about it Tuesdays on the Hoffman W Sports WNBA show, which you can watch on Twitter or subscribe to on the podcast. But local W action, we're talking to Brittany Sykes from the Mystics at 6:30 tonight. Right now, though, we continue our coverage of the news of the day, which is that Emmanuel Forbes is going to have wrist surgery. He has a torn UCL in his wrist, the ulna collateral ligament in his wrist, and his which is also down into the thumb. And that sucks for him. He was out at practice yesterday. You might have seen the video. I think ABC7 had it of Dan Quinn kind of feeling around in his thumb and Emmanuel kind of explaining what's going on. And eventually they decided, like, actually the best thing for right now for him is surgery. Like, let's get this thing done. Make sure there's no long-term repercussions here. And in the meantime, we'll figure it out. But Mark and Largo called, and he talked about how he thinks that Adam Peters has given up on Jahan Dotson too early. And for a guy like Forbes, you know, oh, you can't give up on another first round pick. And we got distracted by the second part of Mark's call and the idea that media narratives can affect play on the field and why that shouldn't be the case. But I did want to respond to the first part of the call. And that response goes something like this. Adam Peters is a trained professional who is making an assessment, not a dude in a box wearing a suit going on vibes. Like, Adam Peters watches the tape. Adam Peters watches practice. Adam Peters is constantly evaluating the person, the professional, the player, everything that he evaluates to decide who is going to make the 53, what value they have to the franchise. And that is literally his job. And by the way, his job is really, really hard. Like, there's a reason he makes seven figures, presumably well into the seven figures, to do that job. And it's because it's hard. It's because there's a lot of factors. You are putting together essentially a 70-piece puzzle, right, between 53 and a practice squad. You're also responsible for all the coaches, so add another 30 people, your front office staff. You know, you're responsible for like 150 people, and you got to make sure you have the right mix of all of that. And on top of the management of 150 people, including multiple direct reports that you're managing, your current season, your head coach is reporting to you, your scouting staff, your pro scouts are reporting to you, hey, we should be watching the potential trade for this guy, or hey, this guy just got cut, do we need whatever insert position here, your college scouts, you're trying to make sure that you're not too far behind in the draft, slash you're probably going to certain college scouting things during the year to be able to watch games in person and scout. So there's a lot of things that you have to be good at, but at the core of it all, there's the people management of managing an organization, hence general manager, and can you evaluate football players? And so when you talk about, like, oh, you can't give up on a first-round pick, they didn't give up on him. They made an evaluation that said he shouldn't be here. Like, that was, to take it to whatever business world you live in, that was a performance review. Jahan Dotson didn't pass his performance review. Emmanuel Forbes did. Forbes got a roster spot. Dotson got traded. And I understand that might be a small oversimplification of it, because, you know, the investment you make in someone, the first round pick, the talent, whatever. But, like, it's actually not. You hire someone, you pay him the money, you make whatever commitment you have to. You do factor that into how easily or not you move on from them, because in a salary capped league, there are ramifications for those decisions. And obviously there is a potential upside of higher picks that is self-evident. The guys get drafted in the first round because they're really talented. And even if you might not have drafted in the first round, it's not like Forbes was actually a fifth rounder. No, he was a guy with tremendous ball skills, anticipation, great length, big size. He competed at a high level in the SEC. He showed some physical toughness, even if he was undersized from a weight standpoint. And the hope was that he would figure out the rest of it in the NFL, and that some of the inconsistency will get more consistent with professional grade coaching. I've talked before how I think the cornerback position is the most coach dependent in the entire sport. And he got terrible coaching in year one. The problems that we were scared of got worse or exacerbated instead of made better. And ultimately we saw the end result, which is he was bad through an entire year. And then he had a bad game one this year when we were certainly hoping to see better. But that is Adam Peters' job, is to evaluate and project the best that he possibly can. This is what this guy is now. This is what I think he can be. He's worth the money we're paying him, or not. He's at least a neutral to keep around, because, you know, hey, if we cut him, we have dead cap money and we can't really replace him. So we might as well, because that's the other thing too, is like, oh, you should move on from Emmanuel Forbes, cut him. And then what? Sign who? There are some guys out there, veterans that are available for a reason. Some of those are off the field reasons, and this team's not touching those kinds of guys. Some of them are available because their play declined. Some of them are available because they're not actually ready to play yet because they're hurt. So there's a litany of guys that are out there, and if you can find a diamond in the rough or a vet who just needs a different environment, maybe he wasn't cooked, he just got himself in a bad way, and you can bring that guy in, great. But realistically, you don't find good players, certainly great players, and certainly not building block players in September. You get lucky every once in a while. Every couple of years, you might sign a guy who's a really important piece to your season. You know, you think of like what Will Blackman was to this team when he got here after Seattle surprisingly cut him in 2015. Is when that happened. And like, Will Blackman was a really good piece for this team for multiple years. But those are few and far between. And it's far more likely, frankly, to happen at a position like kicker, which is super finicky. Maybe Austin Seibert all of a sudden is good in the way that Dustin Hopkins, who had bounced around, was all of a sudden good when he got here. And you can solve your kicker problem for multiple years. But to find a corner at a premier position in the middle of September is basically impossible. And so it's not about giving up on or holding on to or any other version of that for these first round picks. It's about making an evaluation of what they actually are, how good they can be, and whether or not they fit within your franchise, and then making the appropriate move. For Jahan Dotson, that was to trade him. For Chase Young last year, that was to trade him. For Emmanuel Forbes, it was to hope that he could take some of the growth that he had on the practice field to the playing field. It didn't happen in week one. Now he's out allegedly 6 to 8 weeks. We'll see exactly what that timeline looks like when we hear more from Dan Quinn tomorrow. But he's out for a while with this wrist surgery. And hopefully when he gets back on the back end of this, he's been a professional throughout the process, and he can return and play at a high level. And then he's here for the rest of his contract. And then if he's that good, maybe they sign him to another one. That'd be a hell of a story arc. But for right now, patience, waiting, things that we're really bad at, and something that not only are we going to have on the outside, but something that Quinn and company and Adam Peters, in terms of his evaluation, is going to have on the inside as well. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We'll talk a little bit more about what we saw from week one, kind of our last look back. And we'll also look ahead to the Giants with Dan Pizzuta of the 33rd team. We'll take a look around some of the top headlines in the rest of the NFL as well next here on the Team 980.